ball spark. You want good words? Data Languager.
Talk real sports with a real man.
Come after me! I'm a man! I'm 40!
And now, here's the be-all, end-all, know-it-all of high school, college, and pro sports. Aaron Skinny Calc with The Skinny on Sports.
We're talking about practice, man. I'm the MVP.
And a very good Friday morning, Western Oklahoma, East Texas Panhandle. It is The Skinny on Sports on 98.1 FM, 1240 AM, KADS, the sports animal. Jared Atheis sitting in for Aaron today on your wonderful Friday. As he is out, I am in, which means I got my man Drew Cobb on the other side helping me out. Drew, how are you? Thanks for stepping in on last-minute notice here.
Oh, man, every time I get the invite, it makes me feel special. So thank you for having me.
I'm glad I am the reason you feel special today.
A lot going on in the world. Not so much sports-related, but...
Are you kidding me? We got basketball, NBA basketball.
Of course,
playoffs
yes.
are going on right now. I know you even brought this to my attention. Elk City Baseball played last night.
Yeah.
Got yet another win, and they are primed and ready for the playoffs.
Yeah, I saw Drake Hughes. I saw a video floating around of him with a big yak at El Reno.
That's good.
Going yah-yah, as the kids say.
That's good. I wonder if – because there's been more windy days than not this baseball season. I wonder how many home runs are because of the wind.
Right.
You know, I wonder if anyone's looked back, like, man, our home run production is up this year. That's because you got it in the jet stream. But
you know, kind of a lesser-known sport, but Mountain Man's been talking a lot of the same thing. This wind has really been throwing a kink in his pigeon racing season.
Pigeon racing?
Pigeon racing. That's probably a sport you haven't talked about
on
the show.
Is that a thing?
It is definitely a thing, and there are some local guys around Elk City who spend a lot of money raising and racing these birds.
Pigeon.
It's incredible.
Pigeon racing.
Homing pigeons, yeah.
That's new to me. That's cool.
Oh, y'all school up, Jared. What's the text line for the Skinny on Sports?
580-225-9698. Text on in. Talk about pigeon racing or anything else you want to talk about. Got any questions? We'll do our best to answer them. And I say our best. Because when Aaron's out, you know, he's the knowledgeable guy. He's the sports encyclopedia around here. I do my best. So anyways, 580-225-9698. Don't forget, you can download our app and follow us and listen to us. Anywhere that you are, if you're outside of our listening area, download that app, Paragon, and everything is on that app. We got KECO, where you can hear Tradio next hour with you, and the Backroads, and all the fine country music in between. Cool 94, hear you in the morning with Mountain Man, you just mentioned.
The Pigeon Racer.
The Pigeon Racer himself.
And Pizza Cooker.
The Axe Throwing, the Pizza Cooking.
Pizza Racing
Mountain
Pigeon
Man.
Cooker, yep.
And... also, of course, you get this station right here where you can hear us and all the sports animals all day long. Penny News.
Free and fresh.
Paragon TV. I mean, it all starts on that Paragon app and then just directs you to all those properties I mentioned. Penny News, by the way, new edition in newsstands right now unless it's blown away.
PennyNewsOnline.com.
PennyNewsOnline.com. That does not blow away. You can watch. You can read the latest edition right there.
225-7355. 225-SELL. Get you a classified in the Penny News.
Hey, somebody asked me what is the Penny News number, and I just tell them the 9696 number. Just ask for the Penny News.
That's right. 225-SELL. S-E-L-L. Not like jail cell or battery cell.
Of course not.
Or sale. S-A-L-E. Sell. S-E-L-L.
Like you're not sailing on the lake.
Like seashell without the H.
There you go. How are you?
I am good, man.
Plans this weekend?
I don't have any plans this weekend. I'm probably covering some severe weather that's sure to pop up somewhere in our list.
You think?
I think so, man. I think it's coming. Reed Timmer seems pretty stoked about it. You know if Reed Timmer is going to be in your area, that's where the highest likelihood of it popping off is going to be.
That guy has so much energy.
He does.
I just feel like he can create a storm wherever he's at.
It's
you
like,
know what I mean?
It's like he controls the weather. He's like, I am lightning. Yeah.
So what have you heard about the weather? I haven't been watching it very closely.
Well, I've heard that the weather at about 25,000 feet's been rocky, especially if Mike Tyson is involved. Did you see the tussle that Mike Tyson got into? That's a boxing news right there.
What happened right there? He just they're on a plane.
Yeah.
Going from point A to point B somewhere in the air. And from what I gathered via people sending me stuff in social media was that somebody annoyed him Or it got annoying?
Dakota just texted in and said someone took his seat.
Someone took his seat?
Yeah. Now
why would you take Mike Tyson's seat?
Now, see, like you, I loosely looked over this, and what I gathered was this guy was kind of clout chasing. He was trying to get a reaction out of Mike Tyson.
Mm.
And another thing that they made a point of, you know, Mike Tyson's always had an entourage of security guards around him wherever he goes. Little known fact, those security guards are not for his safety. It's to protect Mike Tyson from Mike Tyson. It's to keep him from hurting other people.
Yeah, it's for the other people's safety. Yeah. Yeah, I wouldn't think Mike Tyson needs security.
No.
But the other people I could see, yeah,
yes.
They, listen, we're not here like for his safety. We're here for your safety. Sir, you might stop annoying him right now, especially in a confined space like a plane.
Yeah, of course. You know,
what are you going to do? Where are you going to go?
It's just like that scene on Breaking Bad whenever he's talking to his wife, Skyler, and he's like, I'm not in danger, Skyler. I am danger. Yeah. I am the danger.
Yes. Yeah. So he punched him.
Yeah.
Repeatedly.
Yeah. Rock 'em, sock 'em robots.
Will Mike Tyson get in trouble for this? Will he get charged?
Absolutely not. No, no. He's going to use this publicity to probably manifest some type of exhibition boxing match or something. Of course, he fought Roy Jones Jr. last year, right? And actually looked pretty good when he did it. Of course, those guys weren't going all out, but a few flashes of the past, he still has it. He still has the ability to get in shape as well, as he proved. So maybe he'll use this to his advantage.
Well, he punched Stu on the hangover, and
right,
you still got it. So I saw that he kind of put out a statement. I don't know if it was after this or just coincidentally it kind of related to this, but he said social media is creating an environment where people think you can say what you want without consequences.
Right.
In this case, there were consequences.
Yes.
This dude got hit in the face repeatedly.
Yeah. The only thing...
And it makes... Listen, I was like, God bless Mike Tyson. I think more people need punched in the face for what they think they can say and get away with.
Where it becomes...
Myself included. You know, there's some people who like to punch me in the face.
Where it becomes a problem, though, is whenever a normal person, or somewhat normal person, I guess. I don't think I'm normal, but average Joes you and me.
What's normal?
If an average Joe like you or me were offended on an airplane and went over and punched somebody, they would immediately take that plane to the sky. You or I would be arrested.
Yeah,
that wasn't the case with this.
It would land the plane wherever, you know, if you're over, you know, if they're going from New York to LA, okay, we got to land. And
it would have took both people off. It wouldn't even matter who's
Rapids, and we got to arrest this guy.
And it wouldn't even have mattered whose fault it was. Both people would have been
kicked off. It would have been, off the plane. But it was Mike Tyson, and it looked like, I've seen the video, it looked like first class.
Do you think Mike Tyson would not fly in
first
class?
Well, I'm just saying, I mean, what I'm saying is, people in first class, I've only flown first class once. Okay, so I was kind of, but it wasn't
Did
on.
You get upgraded?
No, it was a gift.
You paid
more
for
or
it?
Less. Yeah, it was a gift. But I, you know, everybody was just kind of mellow and cool and calm and, you know, like, oh, we're in first class.
Chill out, honey. This is Spirit Airlines.
I need my moist towel and my mojito. But this dude who is provoking Mike Tyson appears to also be in first class. I mean, what kind of guy? Is he an influencer?
It might have been a TikToker.
There's a story behind this guy.
Yeah,
there's
from what I hear, he's a TikToker of some sort.
Influencer or whatever it was.
Which, a great headline to be, I got punched by Mike Tyson.
Yeah. I've seen the aftermath video, and he just kind of had this baby look on his face. And he's like, man, look at me.
We live in a world of headlines.
I'm telling you. Well, I'm glad I hope Mike Tyson doesn't get... in too much trouble. There are consequences, and I get it.
He's a national treasure, and can you really blame a person after they've been hit in the temporal lobe as many times as he has?
No. Can I blame him?
No. I mean, that's what he does. And, you know, if a kid touches the stove, they know they're going to get burned. If you touch Mike Tyson's stove,
he's going to eat your children.
Yeah. You think he... that person who got hit, the victim, I guess, is what he is. Or is he? That's another debate.
You know, we don't blame a lion for
attacking
someone.
When you're at a restaurant and they bring out your food and they say, careful, this plate is hot.
Mm.
And then you touch the plate, and you're like, God, it's hot.
Let me speak to your manager.
Well, we just told you it was hot. I'm sure somebody told him, hey, what you're about to do to try to provoke Mike Tyson is probably a bad idea. You might get punched.
And I think that's the whole reason he did it in the first
place. By the
former
heavyweight champion of the world. He's like, okay.
So he had to have wanted that to happen.
He wanted it
to happen.
He had to. Yeah. He got what he deserved.
I wonder what Skinny's take is on it.
And I bet you Mike Tyson let up on the punches.
Oh, for sure.
He could have killed the guy.
Oh, without a doubt. Without
a
doubt.
This dude, he could have really hurt, and I'm sure he let up.
I mean, even if it's an 80-year-old Mike Tyson, even if he's 80 years old, I mean, he's still going to be above average.
Yeah.
Ability to knock someone out.
That one time I was on first class, when you're on first class, at least that one time I was, I'm looking around for famous people, right? I'm like, all right. But I'm flying out of Oklahoma City. How famous could you get, right? But you never know. You never know.
It's crossroads of America.
You're right. I saw a guy. He was the seat in front of me and to the left across the aisle, so I could just see the back of this guy's head. But this guy, he had a full head of hair. I mean, he kind of looked like Sideshow Bob.
Yeah.
You know? That kind of hair. And I was like, okay, nobody just brazenly wears that hair without confidence and being famous.
Of course.
Right? It's like, who is this guy? And a couple, you know, he'd look over to his right, and I could see the profile of his face. And became more, I was like, okay, this is somebody. This looks familiar. Found out who it was. I'm sure I'm saying his name wrong. I think it's Wayne Cohn.
Wayne Coyne from the Flaming Lips.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
He's from Oklahoma City.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And I think he was going to L.A. for whatever
reason. That's awesome.
So, and I was like, that's the dude. That's
He's
the dude.
A really cool guy, too, man.
And I was too scared to talk to him because I only know like three of their songs.
Yeah,
very
down to
earth. Very popular ones. But when we got off the plane, you know, what do you do when you get off the plane? Luggage claim, right? Mm-hmm. You go get luggage.
So if you're my mom, I need a cigarette.
Yeah. So I went down the luggage claim. I'm sitting there waiting for my luggage. Everybody else just waiting. And lo and behold, right to my left, standing right next to me, is him. But I'm still too chicken to say anything.
Right.
You know,
but
I'm
you
like,
figured out who
say,
he is.
I don't
want to
go, hey, are you Wayne from the Flaming? And he's like, oh, God, another one of these guys. I really like that song that everybody hears on commercials.
Yeah.
You know,
you ended up giving him the white guy nod, didn't you?
I don't think I said anything to him unless I had, you know, if I said, excuse me, or, you know, but I didn't say anything. That's the thing. And me and Aaron kind of had that conversation yesterday about meeting celebrities.
Yeah.
But we were talking about meeting your heroes, right? And, what's the common saying? Don't meet your heroes because you will be disappointed.
You'll be disappointed, yeah.
You know, and
because they're just people.
Yeah, what you think they're like Superman, or they could be real jerks,
right?
Right. And so that's probably another reason. Like, if I see celebrities, I'm like, you know what? I don't want to ruin it. I see him as being the lead singer of Flaming Lips in a giant bubble thing on top of crowds. That's cool to me, and I don't want him to be a jerk and then we have to hate this band now.
Unless you're a sympathetic person and you look at it from the angle of, well, I'm probably the 1,500th person that's approached him and asked him for a picture asked him for time. So, I mean, there's only so much of you that you can give, you know? And I think a lot of us don't take that into account whenever we see our person that, gosh, he was mean to me. Well, he might have just talked to 1,400 people and tried to give them, you know.
But to his credit, or to that, I never saw people bothering him.
Yeah.
I think he is at this level of celebrity where if you know who he is, then you know who he is. But he's not.
Yeah.
He's not like Dave Grohl.
Sure.
You know, has to have that security we mentioned and keep a low profile when he's out in public. You know, some people look at him and go, well, that's an odd looking fella. And, you know, for me, I was like, well, I know that guy. And why do I know that guy? Flaming Lips, famous from Oklahoma City. You know, if you're from Oklahoma, You've seen him more often than not, as far as on TV and stuff he's done locally. So there wasn't a lot of people just clamoring around him. I did see some people kind of look and kind of, I think I know that guy, but kind of same thing I was
just
doing.
Just because his style stands out. His hairstyle, his clothing. I mean, he dresses like a, I don't know, like a vampire or something.
Hey, sports talk now. How about this? Tomorrow, spring games, both OU and OSU football games. Of course, in Norman and Stillwater. And OU has released their rosters for their white team and red team. OU, we talked about it yesterday, Aaron and I, about the spring games, how excited we are or aren't for spring games. Typically, we're not, because they're just glorified practices or just another reason to sell some tickets, make some money, and give something for the fans to come and watch and hang out and kind of hold you over until football season actually starts. Now, OSU... They not sure what they're going to do, dealing with some injuries on the offensive line. I'm sure they'll figure out something to do as far as something for the fans, maybe some 7-on-7 competition, stuff like that. OU looks like it's going to be a full-on 11 versus 11 spring game. They've been really touting it up, obviously because of the new coaching staff. I think the big reason is they want to show the rest of the college football world, like, okay, Lincoln Riley's gone, but we're still OU, and we still do it big and still can attract a lot of fans. And there's a lot of excitement because of the new coaching staff. You got Brent Venables and just a plethora of them. But there are some familiar names, like DeMarco Murray still there, Biedenbo. Of course, Gundy's still there for OU. And it's exciting because we don't know – we kind of have an idea what the offense can look like. And but we're told that it's going to be a little bit quicker. The defense, I think there's a lot of optimism because Coach Venables, of course, is a former defensive coordinator for Clemson and OU. And everywhere he goes, success follows defensively. So there's anticipation that the defense can be better. But at the spring game happening tomorrow, and again, they released their roster. So looking at it, one thing that stood out is Dylan Gabriel doesn't look like there's going to be a quarterback competition, even though when Lincoln Riley was at OU, there always was one when there was, you know, when we knew Kyler Murray was the guy.
Right.
No, let's have a competition. What do you what?
Just keep a little pressure on your boys. Yeah.
What? Anyways, Dylan Gabriel looks to be the guy, the lefty who came in from UCF, originally out of Hawaii, and this dude has the look. It's so ironic how parallel this is happening. When Bob Stoops came in, I'll give a little history lesson, I'm sure you remember. When Bob Stoops came in, he brought in a transfer quarterback by the name of Josh Heupel, left-handed.
And that was going to be my question. Who was the last left-handed quarterback for OU?
Oh, there's been another. I think Hibble was left-handed. No, I'm thinking of kickers. We've had these. OU's had left-footed kickers. Anyways, Gabriel, though, a new coaching staff, so he comes in left-handed. So it's kind of like parallel, you know, and I think he has a couple of years of eligibility left. He is a redshirt junior, so yes. So could this be a good starting point year, and next year could be a real good year? Just like Heupel. It's weird how things work out like that.
I mean, how big of a shift does that create, you know, in terms of your offense? Because if the quarterback's back is facing a completely different direction than what they're used to.
Yeah, when you do play action stuff and you're rolling different ways, there's, you know, when you're a right-handed quarterback, as opposed to throwing across your body, left-handed quarterback, you don't have to. There's some advantages there, but I think it's a wash because if you're doing it one way, the right-handed quarterback's doing it the opposite way and vice versa.
Right.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, of course.
So
doing to one side as you do in the other.
Yeah, I think it's a wash. But typically when you have these spring games, you have one quarterback on one team, another quarterback on another team. It looks like Dylan Gabriel is going to be on the field for both teams taking snaps.
Right.
So there's going to be no question going into fall camp who quarterback one is. It's Dylan Gabriel. If you're going to tune in to watch, if you're not going, then they claim they've sold a lot of tickets and there's about 3,000 left, which is actually pretty cool for a spring game. I don't know how accurate that is. But if you're not going and you're watching, just prepare to pay $10 to watch one half, because I bet you we don't see Dylan Gabriel pass the first half. And we'll see a lot of guys that you typically don't see playing in the fall. But that being said, tune in early to watch some of these guys. Again, Dylan Gabriel on both sides. Locally, Ethan Downs from Weatherford. He is on the red team. And do you remember Reed Lindsay? He's from Clinton. He is also on the red team.
Right,
I forgot that he is still there. And why shouldn't he be? He's a great young man. And he's a redshirt junior. So look for number 93. Number 40, of course, Ethan Downs. Looking at the red team, others that stand out. I'm just going up and down. Theo Weiss is on the red team wearing number 10. He's poised to have a breakout season at wide receiver. We know about Marvin Mims. He's on the red team. And on the white team, we got Eric Gray running the football. Look for Jaleel Farouk. He kind of had a nice bowl game against Florida at the Cotton Bowl. He's on the white team. And Billy Bowman defensively on the white team. So, oh, and Drake Stoops too. So they kind of evened it out, split it up evenly. I think it could be fun. What's cool is the white team will be head coached by Miguel Chavez. The red team head coach is DeMarco Murray.
Yeah, about that.
That's pretty neat.
I like that.
They just, okay, you guys, you're controlling this team. I've never seen power. That. I can't remember ever seeing that. Usually, you know, you have the head coach taking care of responsible for both teams. And Venables is more or less, but you got DeMarco Murray. That's neat because that could be, I don't know. I mean, DeMarco Murray could, maybe he has aspirations to be a head coach one day. Of course, he's in charge of the running backs. But if he could show that he could have some leadership qualities, that could be the first step maybe towards a promotion in the coaching staff. And then who knows from there? That'd be pretty cool story.
Yeah, that's pleasantly surprising.
Yeah.
You know, to see him in that position now. I mean, that's not something you would have thought of.
No.
I mean, that's not a knock to him in any way.
Not
you
at
just
all.
You'd always picture him as a player first kind of guy. Like, I don't know.
Yeah, and he's a OU guy. He from not officially, but from the rumors, he was pretty upset at Lincoln Riley the way that all went down.
Sure.
Back in November, to the point he was screaming mad. So he's pretty committed to the university.
That's awesome.
Cool. And so that's that. So something to look forward to tomorrow and OSU's spring game as well. And we'll have full recaps on those on Monday, and then we'll, you know, really break it down and give our opinion. Me and Aaron will.
As a neutral Okie, I've never been to a game in Norman or Stillwater.
Really?
I've never been to an OSU game, never been to an OU game. I need
to
get that off my bucket list.
Oh, it's great.
Yeah. And then I'll compare and I'll see which one is better.
Each one has their cool stuff about it. You know, OSU is I will say this. I haven't been it since they've renovated the stadium. It's been that long.
So maybe you'll have to take me.
Maybe we need to go together.
Oh, it's a date.
But, Stillwater, it's a great town. I love Eskimo Joe's. I know it's so cliche to say, but it's true. I like it.
Yeah, I love the town of Stillwater.
And OU Campus Corner is fun.
Yeah, I love Norman, too.
The tailgate scene, it's all over the place. And the parking's horrendous.
That's
always is what it
true.
Is.
But you accept that before you go.
And the stadium is fantastic, too, since they've bolted in and done some renovations there. So both of them have their charm and their good stuff about them. It's always fun, and we're very fortunate here in the state of Oklahoma to get really cool football teams like that. Jared Atha hanging out with you with Drew. We're both filling in for Aaron. Takes two guys to fill in for Aaron, I guess. He's just out today, and he has some big shoes to fill, so we're doing our best today, right?
Yes, and in fact, Aaron does have a much bigger shoe size than you and I.
I'm pretty sure he does.
I think he does. I'm a 10 and a half, 11 guy myself.
Well, good for you. I'm not going to say how.
Come on, don't feel inferior,
Jared. I'm not doing that.
I know.
Opens up too many avenues for jokes.
I know Aaron Kalk's rocking at least a 12 and a half, 13. He's got to be.
I'm sure he is. We kind of touched on Elk City Baseball, 21-8 on the year, got a win over 5A El Reno yesterday, 11-5. District is set. They will be hosting Dixon, and it appears it will be on Monday. Doubleheader with Dixon at 4 o'clock, and then the second game followed after that, best 2 of 3, and then they'll move on and host regional if they are fortunate enough to get past district. I'm feeling pretty good about their chances on that one.
They got
out of region, they're in state, and that is very impressive. They got a solid team, and everyone kind of had a feeling that they would be contenders in the district. They're perfect in the district this year, and by virtue of that, winning the district, here we are with a very easy road to get to state. I mean, how fortunate is that?
Which is what you usually can't say.
Yeah, it's been a few years.
Usually one of the toughest roads for Elk City.
Yeah, it's been a few years, but 20, I think.
Yeah, I never went. I know for sure because, I mean, you have to get past Clinton and Weatherford.
Yeah, and Clinton, they finished second, Weatherford third. I'm not sure. Let me see if I can pinpoint. Looks like we thought Paul's Valley was going to be for Clinton, and Weatherford would have to travel somewhere. Aaron had this all mapped out, and I should have kept that paper that he wrote down. But we do know Elk City hosting Dixon on Monday.
That ought to be a good one, man. They've been on a roll. Like I said earlier, Drake Hughes with a big knock. What was that, yesterday?
Yeah.
Yeah, that video's floating around. It's good to see, man. that whole class of athletes, not just baseball, but I mean, it's been a really good year for Elk City Athletics.
Yes, it has. It's been a fun year. Somebody. And I don't think that's going to slow down anytime soon because they got a lot of young kids for every sport. That, I mean, yes, it's a senior heavy group right now, but they're laying what I call laying the base to move forward, and you know, these younger kids are seeing this, go, this is how it's done. Mm. Because before that, it was, you know, and I'm not knocking any kids that came before, but, you know, winnings were far and few between, especially in football.
No, I mean, this happens
once
everywhere.
Once they stuck it out and they broke through, got the playoffs, got all the way to the semifinals, people are going to float around and say, well, they had all those seniors and they're going to be gone and next year they'll take a step back. I don't think that's the case. I think you're going to see all those kids that are still there.
Yeah.
Okay. We know how to do it now.
Well, these kids now, these current kids, they're set up for life because they learned how to lose and they learned how to win.
Yeah, it builds character.
They learned how to do both, so they're going to be set going into life as adults.
Absolutely, builds character. I know we've had some, and there's just so many. And if you want to give shout outs to your team, your kids' team, whatever, do it. 580-225-9698. Shoot us a text. We'd love to stay on top of that and give those shout outs. But I know there's been some in slow pitch softball. I think yesterday I saw. Some district titles won. I know Hammond won theirs. And I know Canute is still active today. They have to win 4 to get out of that district after suffering that loss on Wednesday. And that starts at about 11 o'clock. They have to win 4 in a row. So it's going to be a tough ask. But they are at home. So very capable of them doing that. And, again, if you want to give a shout-out to your teams, feel free. We love doing that. Or your favorite player, please. Don't hesitate and give those shout-outs. You've been watching any NBA basketball, Drew? The playoffs are in full effect. You've seen any of this?
This is usually the time I start watching NBA basketball a little more seriously, but I got to admit to you, no, I haven't, man. I have not.
Pretty wild games last night. The Grizzlies and Timberwolves. Timberwolves are kind of this upstart team. They remind me of one of the early Thunder teams that was a nice team, got to the playoffs, pushed to win a series against LA. What year was that? What year was that? 10? Any 9?
Maybe earlier, yeah.
Yeah, well, they got there in 08. Anyways, and then, you know, they bowed out to a Kobe Bryant-led Lakers team that went on to win the title. This Timberwolves team kind of reminds me of that. They were up big last night against Memphis, but Memphis came back and won that one 104-95. They take a 2-1 lead in the series. Memphis is kind of one of my sleeper teams to win it all.
They always are.
They got Ja Morant. They're well built, well draft. They draft well, you know. It's ever since they broke it down, and it started with drafting Ja Morant, and then what they've developed now. They just kind of look like, and I don't like them. I never liked them when they played Oklahoma City because they were feisty.
Right, Randolph, man,
Randolph, Zebo, and their fans drove me crazy for some reason. I loved beating them and eliminating them, especially in the playoffs. But that's neither here nor there. This is I have no dog in the fight, obviously, with the Thunder not in it. That's what me and Aaron love sometimes about this. Like, we can just sit back and be a fan. I'm a fan of the Grizzlies this season anyways, just because I picked them to, I think, get to at least the Western Conference Championship game. I think they have the ability to do it. Now, they got to go through teams. You got the bracket over there, I think, on your desktop. Yeah.
Let's see here.
Warriors, they are winners over the Nuggets, 118-113. They have a commanding 3-0 lead. And the Mavericks have taken a 2-1 lead over the Jazz. The Jazz are a mess.
I
think they're a mess. I think they got to break it down, release everybody not named Donovan Mitchell and rebuild it.
That was going to be what I said.
I don't know how to describe it. They're right. You thought they were almost right there. They're at the point where what the Grizzlies were now a couple years ago, but they have not advanced. They haven't taken that next step. And before it gets too bad, I think they should break it up. But the Mavs, they win 126-118. Again, they lead the series 2-1 in that one. I'm sorry, I don't have the bracket, and it's just not.
Golden State and.
So if Golden State wins, who would they have to play? If they advance, who would they have to play?
Mavs and Jazz.
Okay.
If they will play the winner of New Orleans and the Suns. And then the winner of that game will play the winner of...
So Warriors-Nuggets will get... The winner of that series gets Grizzlies or Timberwolves.
Correct.
Okay.
Correct.
So that'd be a tough ask for the Grizzlies for the Warriors. Because the Warriors look like the Warriors of old.
Right.
The way they look, I mean...
Looks like Warriors will have
like
to get through the Grizzlies.
Pre-Durant old. That's what they look like. Looking at their stat line, you got Thompson with 26 last night, Poole with 27, and I mean they just look fantastic.
I mean you can't sleep on those Curry older with 27. Teams either. You get teams in the past that were old and super successful, like Spurs, Celtics. You know they've had a lot of those very veteran teams that they might not be as athletic as before, but arguably better than they were before.
Yeah, so looks like. The West, I think, could be sneaky good. Now, everyone's going to look at the East as the best conference. Funny how that has shifted in a short amount of time, but it happens when you got people like Durant going to Brooklyn, et cetera.
Right.
Speaking of Durant, are they in trouble?
Celtics.
The Celtics lead them 2-0 in that series. Durant just has not played Durant-style basketball. Now the series shifts back to Brooklyn on Saturday night, and man, a chance for Celtics to take a commanding 3-0 lead. Is what's going on with Durant? Have you paid attention to that very much?
No,
he has not been very good, to quite frankly put it, especially in crunch time. Now credit the Celtics playing really good defense on him. Almost putting two and a half, three guys on him. And, you know, they've done their film study and they know exactly where he's going to be at all times on the court and kind of anticipate where he's going to go. But, man, I'd be worried. I'd be real worried if I'm Brooklyn and Durant fans right now.
Well,
I just hope
you know
it's
what
not
Durant
as...
can do. I mean, he can turn on that switch and
– Oh, sure.
And shut everybody up real quick.
I'm efforting. I had that stat in front of me.
You could just say he was due for a slump. I mean, you can't play.
Oh, it happens.
You can't play that good for that long. You know, you got to at least have a slump in there every once in a while.
But you know, they went 44. Excuse me. They are currently 44-38. They kind of coasted through the season and that's why I'm getting tired of the NBA and doing this. And I hope Silver addresses it. But you're just seeing teams just coast through the season,
yeah.
And then when they get the playoffs, they turn it on. I think that could be biting the Nets right now because they've coasted through the season. Of course, there's the midseason trade, sending Harden to Philly because it just didn't work out in Brooklyn. But now when they try to turn it on and all of a sudden it's just the light switch is broke.
Yeah, that's why I always say you don't even really know how things are going to end until playoff times. Teams just like the Grizzlies you were talking about earlier, back in the early Thunder success days, you know, they were always a wild card. You never knew what was going to happen.
Right. Games tonight, the Hawks are just trying to get a win here. They host the Heat. Miami with a 2-0 lead on that one. Bucks and Bulls are tied 1-1. That happens tonight. And then the Suns and Pelicans. Speaking of in trouble, the Suns might be in trouble because of Devin Booker's injury. Could be out, I think, as much as 4 weeks, as little as 2 weeks. Either way you look at it, that leaks into the next series if they are able to get past the Pelicans. I was nearly laughed out of the room when I said the Pelicans have a chance with Devin Booker out. I think it's a real thing. If Chris Paul, I mean, I don't know if I want to put all of the pressure. Now, the guy who could handle a lot of the pressure is Chris Paul.
Devin Booker never has his head in the game anyway. He's got his head in the DMs of adult film stars and Instagram models. He is the biggest man in the NBA. If you like, he has extracurricular activities that are constantly getting
him in
trouble. I don't
follow that stuff like that.
Oh, yeah. See, I do. That is the stuff I follow.
Okay.
You know, you notice the game that Kylie Jenner came to watch him. He dropped 40-some-odd points. He plays good whenever he's got a hot celebrity chick in the crowd watching him, but if that's not the case, he don't care.
He was playing good in game two, but then he got hurt. Now, New Orleans shot the lights out. But I go back to, I was, you know, and Aaron, we didn't see eye to eye on this one. He said, no, there's no way New Orleans can. They had to shoot the lights out to beat a Booker-less Sun squad.
Yeah.
And even the series at 1-1. I get that. But now, bringing Chris Paul in was perfect for the Suns to match up with Booker, and the rest is history. They got all the way to the finals last year, defending West champs, and they're probably the favorite. So some like them to be the favorite this year to get back to the finals. But I think this seriously is an issue for the Suns. We'll see how they respond in New Orleans tonight. And can Chris Paul carry this team until Devin Booker comes back? We'll see.
I might have to take Aaron's side on this.
If he can't, I don't know if they can get back past the Pelicans. I'm serious about this. And you're going to laugh at me. A lot of people are laughing at me right now. It's like the Pelicans, 36 and 46 Pelicans. You kidding? Well, how many times we've seen injuries play such a big role in the NBA playoffs? We've seen it right here in Oklahoma when Westbrook got hurt. We've seen it.
Anybody can win one game. I believe that anybody can win one game, but mathematically, I don't know. I'm gonna have to take.
If there
Aaron's
was going to be
series of games,
any kind of a lopsided series in the first round of the playoffs, I would have picked this one. I would have said Phoenix is going to steamroll New Orleans, sweep them, and move on and forget about them. Right? Maybe the Golden State Denver thing, but I figured Denver had more of a pulse.
So
with Jokic, but it doesn't look like that. It looks like Golden State is going to sweep through that one. So this, for me, coupled with the injury in New Orleans actually winning a game, and now it shifts back to New Orleans. I don't be shocked if we come back here tomorrow and we're talking about this thing being a serious thing.
I hope you're right. But I also hope that we don't have to come back here tomorrow, because tomorrow's Saturday.
Monday. Thanks. Good job.
I love Jared.
Thanks for – this is why I need someone in here, because I would have just flown right by and no one would have said anything. And
I was with you.
I would have looked like the dummy. Yeah,
I was with you till you said we had to come in here tomorrow. I'm out.
They play game three tonight. They play game four on Sunday. Well, who knows? This could be a crazy series by then. Who knows?
Well, I wonder what does Vegas think?
Well, tonight Phoenix is just a 1.5 favorite.
Okay.
Giving Phoenix a 51.5% chance to win it.
So, I mean, that could be the angle.
Matchup predictor on ESPN. Now, Vegas has them again, a 1.5-point favorite in New Orleans. And it's a late game, too. For New Orleans, I'd say 8:30 is a late game. So, crowd's going to be crazy, yeah. I think. And then there's the question. There's always been the question of Zion Williamson. Will he play? He said before the playoffs started that he would probably like to try to play. But do you bring a guy in that hasn't played all season?
So many issues with him, man. Yeah. So many issues. Such a letdown for me, because I've been talking him up for so long, and then he just haven't even got to see him play yet.
I'm not ready to label him a bust just yet, but man, it'd be awesome to see him back on the floor. What if he plays in this series? What if he comes out of the rafters like Sting in the old days of the WCW, and it's Zion.
Whether it's his weight or his work ethic or whatever, there's so many variables with him.
He's got that under control, and he has been quoted to say he wants to play.
Well, some people argue that he plays better when he has the weight. Some people argue the opposite. Some people say he doesn't care. I mean, I don't know. All I know is he's a freak of nature, and I would like to see him play at full capacity on the top level. That's what I want to see.
Yeah.
We've only got glimpses of that.
We haven't seen it yet, and I'd love to see that too. Jared's sitting in for Aaron. Drew Cobb, I guess, sitting in for me.
Yeah, I'm covering for you, man. Covering for you.
Quick look at your forecast. I like to do this on here.
Yeah. Chances for showers and thunderstorms
today. We do have that. Chances for a lot of wind, too. Mostly sunny today. We'll get up to near 85. Although I look out, I'm still seeing cloud cover. Windy out there. South breezes 24 to 31. Wind gusts as hard as 44. And then you mentioned the rain, 30% chance of showers, thunderstorms, mainly after 1 a.m. late tonight, early tomorrow morning. Dropping down only about 63 and still windy. Rain showers tomorrow, 20% chance before 1 p.m., then partly sunny, high of 84. And guess what?
What's that?
It's windy again. Fire weather watch starting tomorrow at noon all the way till 9 p.m. Wind advisory starting at, let's just say now, until 1 a.m. tomorrow morning. I'm tired of this wind.
Yeah. I was talking about that yesterday on another program, how, you know, would you rather live in Seattle where it rains, politics and culture aside, weather strictly, would you rather live in Seattle and deal with the darkness and the rain all the time, or would you rather live in constant wind in Oklahoma? Like how it is now, except it's every day. Which one would you rather put up with?
It's a great question.
I know. And nobody could really decide.
I think I'd deal with the wind because I would be tired of constantly having to open an umbrella or put on a raincoat or whatever.
Right.
You know
but
what I
at
mean?
Least in the rain, you could stand under like an awning or something.
True.
And not get blasted by wind.
True.
So you could at least have some type of comfort outside.
Because most of the time when it rains here, it's windy.
Yeah.
Or if it's
beautiful, it's windy. Or if it looks like it's a great day to go fishing, you walk outside and realize it's not.
Yeah. I've gotten into the hobby of flying drones. And you can't fly drones in the wind
right.
like this. It has to be less than 10.
Oh,
way less than 10.
So this is a horrible place for droning.
But it's a beautiful place because you have all the open sky. There's not a lot of restrictions as there is in other higher populated areas.
Yeah.
You don't have to risk. Now, the only risk you have is somebody shooting.
Do with a shotgun, yeah.
I'm careful with that. But I've had birds attack my drone.
Jared's like, I'm careful with that. I put guns on my drone.
Flamethrower.
Thank you, Elon Musk.
I've had birds attack my drone.
Oh, yeah. I've seen that.
It's funny. I was flying it one day and I'm watching it on my phone, you know, use as your eyes, and I see a shadow kind of fly. I'm like, what is that shadow? And then I finally look up, because that's kind of drone 101, or at least what I've taught myself, is don't look at your drone when you're flying it, look at your screen.
Right.
You know, that'll guide you. And so I looked up, and I see these two birds just flying around my drone. They're like, get away.
Coordinating an attack.
So I've read when that happens, go straight up with your drone because birds can't just suddenly go straight up. You know, they have to kind of flap their way up there. But I didn't know that at the time. I just went fast.
I am speed.
I was like, get away from me. I was afraid they were going to knock my drone out of the sky.
It had to be kind of fun, though. It's kind of like a running from cops feeling.
It's like Top Gun. Yeah. You know, I was, you know. The MiGs were chasing me. In this case, the birds.
Man, if you get pretty good with the drone stuff, there are a lot of career options for people out there, whether it's, you know, freelance photography and videography, or if it's for a network doing events and stuff. I mean, there's a lot of stuff.
We've used it here.
Yeah, definitely.
We've used it here, and we've done some cool things with it. Golf tournament stands out. Gabe took his drone and did a film of every hole, like from the tee box all the way to the hole. We did videos this a couple of years ago, and we still have them and use them. Where Aaron, who knows the golf course better than Aaron, right? I mean, he knows this golf course like the back of his hand. He describes like the length and right here, a dog legs left. I mean, have you seen that? You've seen them,
sure.
Yeah,
of course.
They're really cool, really. So there's a lot of practical uses with the drone.
And just think, people used to have to get a helicopter.
Yeah.
To go up and get these shots. So now
the days of the Goodyear blimp are gone.
Now any dude who's got $100 can get a drone and get drone footage shots that.
Yeah.
You know,
well, it cost me more than $100.
Well, you could get the ones that you attach your phone to. I mean, there are some drones out there that are considerably cheap that will actually function at a certain level that isn't miserable.
No. Yeah. I've been really careful with mine. I've been still in this learning phase and. Now I have to wait for it not to be windy. When it's not windy, and my dad, he bought the same one. I impressed him enough. He went and got the same one, and he's learned so much more stuff. Now, it helps him being retired, so he has a lot of time on his hands, but he'll send me pictures and videos that he's done and show me the stuff. He can buy all these accessories for it, and it is really cool.
This could be a thing that morphs into like a pilot's license for you.
I don't know about
that. I can see you as a guy who has his own little Cessna airplane.
No, I'm more of a... on the ground kind of
You could
guy.
Be like Barry Seal. You can move to Mena, Arkansas, or whatever that town
is. I like to be on the ground unless I have to fly. I leave the flying to the professionals.
And Mike Tyson.
Yeah. Baseball. If you notice, Drew, I'm wearing this hat.
The Rangers.
You see me wear this hat, that means my Rangers won.
Oh, okay.
I have not gotten to wear this hat very much, but they did win last night. They're in Seattle. When I went to bed, they were losing. They came back and won 8-6.
So what do you wear when they lose? You wear it backwards?
Nothing.
So that's basically your victory.
Yeah.
Your victory lap is
I usually don't wear a hat to work unless it's a Friday. Mm. But it just so happened that the Rangers won last night, and it's Friday. So I wore my Rangers hat, but they are 3-9. Maybe they can turn a corner right there. Baseball note, John Gray of Oklahoma, he's from Oklahoma, pitches for the Rangers. He is on the DL.
Oh, what happened? Andrew,
not sure. Just saw he was on the DL. So, anywho, see if they can turn it around. And let's see here.
By the way, I'm going to be out for Tradio next week. I'm having Tommy John surgery. So if you could cover me, Jared, I would really appreciate it. For old time's sake.
Can't your arm be in the sling?
Oh, no, man. Sorry.
You can't push the buttons with your arm in the sling?
Sorry, man.
Can't use one hand to do all that?
I sure can't.
Even type.
That's Sean's excuse why he can't do it. So I can't have that excuse, too. Everybody has to have their own excuse.
Not gonna go. Speaking of Tradio, you need to go?
No, I can hang out for a little bit longer, yeah.
Okay.
The audience is probably like, oh, we wish you'd go.
Wish you'd go. I'm quite frankly run out of stuff to talk about.
Well, you can recap what you already have talked about for those that just now tuned in.
Well, I'm efforting some... We've had some questions about what Big Elk TV is going to cover. I've had some texts come in. We were talking about baseball as they are playing in districts on Monday. Will Big Elk TV be there? I confirmed from Skinny himself that's not happening. Maybe because, come on, writing's on the wall. I don't know of how entertaining of games those are going to be. But to get to state in regional and even in for the fact that is right down the road, Elk City's hosting in Ackley Park, it's pretty safe to say we'll be there.
Yeah.
Covering that. Dates to be determined, I know, be the week after next.
It gets tricky with the legality of the stuff, too, once you start getting into state playoffs
When you get to the actual state tournament, it does.
There's, like, monopolies
There's location issues,
access.
OSSA has exclusive rights to, say, for instance, Bricktown Ballpark. Okay, but the first two rounds, now I'm speaking from experience with small school, but the first two rounds of small school are either at Shawnee or at DeLisi Park in Oklahoma City. And in the past, I've covered that, I know, from personal experience, and then pulling some strings was able to cover a game in Bricktown, which was awesome. But regional, we should be fine. With Big Elk Baseball.
All right, sounds good.
And who knows? We might find some other sports to cover as we get closer to the end of the season and playoffs kick in. And I know Elk City softball, they've won their district, slow pitch softball. Keep an eye on them.
Hey, what about esports?
You know, esports, that is such a tricky
That's going to be a thing, man. That's going to be a thing.
It's going to be a thing.
We'll have to if somebody figures out how to stream it, we will.
And speaking of esports, I want to give a shout out to the Elk City personnel who, as Drew's got to go, you don't have to sneak out. Just say bye.
Oh, bye, guys.
You got to go do your thing.
Catch
go
me on Tradio.
Thing. But I'll end the show with this. I was able to get inside the new Elk City Event Center, Activity Center, for the first time yesterday. Still under construction, but was able to get in there and kind of walk around. The lieutenant governor was in town to hear him speak. He was here part of his lieutenant governor annual turkey hunt. And so it's the first time I was in that building. Really, really impressive with the walking track, elevated walking track, the basketball courts, which as a family of two young daughters, or as a father of two young daughters, I'm anxious to see them get in there and play some basketball in there. And I'm sure a lot of families are as well. Has an indoor playground for, I mean, this thing has it all. It will have it all. And Drew brought up esports, so that's what sparked my memory. On Wednesday, the Elk City Commission approved funds to go towards esports in that activity center. So this isn't, I mean, it's very inclusive, I guess is what I'm trying to say. And yeah, who knows? I mean, esports, we've been trying to figure out esports, I say, as broadcasters for the last couple of years. Like, what is this? Where's esports going? Is this the new thing? We cover a lot of sports, but this is something to keep an eye on in the future. I think esports is the future But in what capacity, I don't know. It's very interesting, and it's growing. It is growing exponentially. I've seen so many more schools. OSSA now sanctions esports events. So it is a school, OSSA school function, more or less. And it just seems to be growing and growing and growing. I've seen the what they've done over there at Swazoo with their esports arena over there. I suspect it's going to be similar over here in Elk City. But I think at one point, I'm talking maybe as fast as this thing's going, 5 years at the earliest down the road, they're going to have bigger venues to accommodate the interest that is esports. It's very interesting. Something to keep an eye on. Hey, that's going to do it for me. I am out of here. Everybody have a wonderful weekend. Don't blow away. I know we have some softball, baseball stuff happening at the Fiveplex over in Elk City. Go out and watch some fun games. Support those kiddos. We got a lot of NBA basketball over the weekend. We'll run that down for you. And the spring games on Monday.
You've been listening to the Skinny on Sports podcast with Aaron Cowan. Be sure to hit that subscribe button to get alerts of when the latest podcast is available. Thanks for listening.
That ball.